Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, friends. All right, everybody. Hi, welcome. We are live in the Live Red Room, talking today on Your Voice Radio Network. We are going to be discussing the topic of sex education for your kids. It's summertime. Kids are out. They're going to be communicating at those early preteens and those going into high school, especially those going into high school, are going to be faced with relationships and questions and behaviors with amongst their friends that maybe they've never been actually faced to deal with or had to deal with before. So I thought that this would be a good topic. Maybe, hopefully, you will find something that you can use to discuss with your kids, to keep the conversation going so that you know you are giving them a chance to communicate their questions with you. I want to thank everyone for listening in to the Your Voice Radio Network. You know, in January 2013, we broadcasted our first show, then named Butterfly Dreams Talk Radio. And with a 1.5 year hiatus, we've got 241 episodes. Of course, a varied team of hosts over the time span of these past 4 years. And each and every one of those, I've made some amazing relationships, some excellent friendships, and developed some great support and colleagues bonding across the nation. And considering the topic matter that we tend to carry a lot in our programming, I got to tell you, 241 episodes, we have reached 45,636 listens. 32% of those out of the U.S., 30% out of China, and then, of course, the UK and Japan and Canada, just to name a few. We've got also France and Australia. So we've got listeners from all around the world, and I'm so glad because these are the relationships and friendships that I've made, even personally engaging with people on Facebook, because I am, yes, a social media mentor, friend. I try to be as positive as I can on a regular basis, and if I'm feeling down and out, you'll see me shut down more. You'll see that I don't chatter as much on social media as I normally do. But, you know, given where we are today and the many excellent programs that are available out there today, I got to tell you, for the hosts that we've had, Annie O'Sullivan, Ginger G, and Michael Madison, Donna Shear, Lee Roberts, Dr. Rose, we've had some amazing hosts and a phenomenal team. Cannot forget to mention Dr. Brenda Orozco Green, who is, we've kind of lost contact over the years, but in the beginning, she and I met during my visit out to California, and we bonded as she explained to me how she was using my own memoir, titled My Justice, to as an educational tool for the family therapist, marriage and family therapy students that were coming through her curriculum. So it was really wonderful to find, to hear that news and how they, the students, were reviewing My Justice and how they felt that it was going to benefit them moving forward as therapists and working with kids or working with families. It's really phenomenal to know that your story, your memoir, your very public and dirty, gritty, ugly secrets are out there. But when you find out that they are being used in a positive way to influence and gather information to be used by the students at La Sierra University in Riverside, California, as online curriculum for her marriage and family therapy students, I cannot thank her enough for all of her support. Of course, my own dear previous teacher, now mentor, friend, confidant, that we've reconnected, Miss Linda Walter, who has been a member, a strong member in the Illinois Educators Association and retired member mentor program, who then goes out and mentors college students who are looking to become educators. She also used the references and the knowledge that she learned in My Justice to take that out. So, you know, huge thanks to both of them for using My Justice. I'm glad that it was able to give your students, at least we know we reached some students, and some who are moving forward that are going to be influencing and stepping up to protect and educate our kids moving forward. So to viewers out there, thanks for tuning into our live video feed. And to our listeners out there, you will find our broadcast at www.blogtalkradio.com/yourvoiceradio. If you want to go over to the Facebook group and watch our video feed live, remember, you can comment here. Topic we're going to be discussing today, very important, right? When do we teach sex education? How do we teach it? Are we teaching it appropriately? Are we encouraging reporting of sexual harm and appropriate reporting? Are we giving them age-appropriate knowledge and modern knowledge that is going to help them? Because remember, the internet is a World Wide Web, and all they got to do is mark, yes, I am 18 years of age, and guess what? They have got links to everything. You know, it's very, very disappointing when we hear, you know, as I was looking up information on this topic, I found out that 1 in 4 American births are given to mothers between the ages of 15 and 17. 1 in 4. I know that the average age, as we go through, the average age of a girl losing her virginity today, 11. When I was a kid, it was like 13, 14, some even 16. But 11? Wow. Wow. My little girls at 11? No way. No way. Are you talking to your boys about using protection? How protection helps preventing diseases, preventing pregnancies? Are you talking to your daughters about forms of birth control just in case of that time? And what age is appropriate to get them on birth control? We don't want to push it too fast because you're going to mess up their system. And, you know, you don't want to put it too young or too late, because then They're already mothers. What about abortion for young kids? How do we feel about abortion for young kids, young mothers? Do we think that it's appropriate for a 13 or a 14-year-old girl to give birth, a 12-year-old girl to give birth, when we know that that pregnancy came about and you know, even if it was a 14 and a 12-year-old getting their first experience of sex, should it end up as being a child that they created and that they have to care for the rest of their lives? Because we don't believe that abortion is appropriate, or that, or, you know, should they carry that they had to give a child up for adoption, that their first time experimenting with sex or feeling that bond with someone, believing that they had a close enough intimacy connection with this person, that they actually wanted to try sex, and they end up becoming parents. You know, there are so many questions that arise on this topic. And, you know, I've got grandchildren that, pardon me, I have to decline a call here that's popping up on my screen. I apologize for our viewers out there of the live video feed. Getting back to that, join our live video feed at facebook.com/groups/yourvoiceradio2017. It's an open group. It is a public group. You don't have to be a member to watch our videos or to see the information that is published there. It is knowledge. It is not a support group. There are many support groups out there. The radio group is not a support group. It is about distributing information and a freedom of thought, freedom of voice, give us your opinion, give us your commentary type of group. And we want to talk about how these issues, I mean, there's so many world issues, right? That are going on right now. You can see the sun coming in and blocking her. There are so many world issues that are so very serious right now. And there are so many local issues that are phenomenal and difficult and challenging. How are we going to feed our kids through the summer? I remember doing that as a single mom. I remember how hard that was. How are we going to care for our kids through the summer as we work? I remember how difficult that was as a single mom of three. I also remember the doubts, even though, you know, after school, not a problem, home for 2 hours before I get there, that was still a panic type of thing. You know, are they going to be okay? Are they going to do anything to hurt each other? Are they going to, let's see if we can't get some better lighting or something. We did it again, didn't we? Yeah, every time I mess with this video feed, as I'm broadcasting on the air, it seems I really fail at managing to do that appropriately without giving you guys a little tumble. Sorry. Okay. So on with the show. We are talking about what is age-appropriate sex education. Now, as I like to try and bring up information for us to share from resources, quality resources. There's every different school district has freedom to choose what they feel is the best appropriate child sex education course for their students. Now, for those of you who attended Freeburg Elementary, Freeburg Middle School, Carl L. Barton Middle School, Carl L. Barton Elementary, Middle School, whatever it was, in Freeburg, Illinois, with me. I think this was back in the day, back in the 70s, whenever, you know, us girls were sitting there scared to death that they were going to be discussing our menstrual cycles in front of these boys. And the boys were sitting there giggling in the background about, oh, my God, we're learning about menstrual cycles. And, you know, pointing out the different girls who they suspected were already having their cycles. You know, we didn't so much learn, you know, yeah, we learned about how the sperm and the egg join. We didn't learn about prevention. We didn't learn about birth control. We didn't learn about, you know, even really abstinence. It was just, this is the biological system that your body works through. It wasn't talking about intimacy in relationships, taking on teen relationships, or appropriate sexual knowledge for the appropriate different ages in life. Because, you know, your kid may be 6 years old, maybe 5 years old, and pop out suddenly with some type of random question that you're like, oh, wow, how should I answer this? Should I just let this go? And, of course, if they're too young, you want to kind of try and distract from that topic, and you do it as best as you can. It doesn't mean that their little minds are going to let go. And if they've got older siblings, if they have, you know, if they're running with kids in the neighborhood in, you know, say they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and they're out there and now everybody 10 years old and up almost always has a cell phone, right? Not all of them have internet access, but almost all of them have cell phones. So if we are giving them this freedom to use this information, this data gateway, to a bucket load of information, what kind of information do you want them to have? Do you want them to bring questions to you so that you can answer them appropriately and honestly, maybe do some research online as to how to actually have this conversation with your kids? It's difficult. It's mother to son, I think, was one of the hardest. And, you know, maybe for our modern dads, it may not be so uncomfortable to have that father to daughter sex education talk, but most definitely, I know dads back in the day would never, even my children's dad, you know, whoa, not going there, you know, nope, not touching that one. A lot of people feel that way. So our kids are getting blasted with information from their friends, information from the internet, information from school, information from books, if they're being slammed, let alone just the basic, you know, what about movies? What about television programs? Even the television show Glee addressed a high school pregnancy. You know, I've watched this. I didn't watch it, the show Glee, whenever it was airing and it went through its great receiving across the country. live on air, right? But going through Netflix, yay to Netflix, I can go back and I can watch those shows now. And, you know, there's some shows that my grandson and I watch together. Now, you know, if indeed he has a question or if he's hit with some information and he's seeing how these, he's, you know, I have grandkids preparing to go into high school next year. High school today is not what it was back in the late 70s. It's not what it was when my kids went into high school back in the 90s. This, what we have in front of us today, is an entire new millennial dress to relationships and education and sexual interactions and transgender identities and the many varying topics that are out there. Do our LGBT kids, do you accept that your kids may want to talk to you about LGBT issues? Or do you condemn them right off the get-go? Do you not even discuss it with them? I can remember a 14-year-old girl coming to me and telling me that she thought that she might be gay. And my response, quite honestly, was, have you had sex with anyone, male or female? Have you had sex with anyone? No. Okay, then I believe at this point you do not have enough information to make a reasonable choice for yourself. You may always be bi. You may decide that you want to only seek female relationships, or that you may only want to seek male-to-female relationships. But at 14, do you have what it takes to really determine that that ironclad, who you are and who you want to be? I honestly don't believe that they do. Not that they don't have that sense. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying that they don't have enough information or have experienced enough in relationships and intimacy to make a decision for themselves of how they want to be and who they want to be. Because I don't care about what gender of person you prefer to be with in life. I don't care about what religion you choose, or if you choose to believe in any religion at all. I don't care in what color skin, what nationality, what area of the world they come from. All I care about is that you're happy, that you're respected, that you're treated appropriately, and that you are loved. Anything else is out the door. I expect you to make the right decisions based on what you know. Don't get hooked up with a drug head. Don't get hooked up with somebody who you know has a violent temper or has been violent with you or has caused violence towards others, or is out there robbing and participating in gang crap. That's not appropriate. You don't want that. Who wants to be sucked into that life? So, as we talk about addressing sex education for our kids, there's a lot that goes into preparing our kids and helping them understand relationships, intimacy, sexual contact, protection, protection from diseases, protection from pregnancy, and also, of course, how much knowledge is too much. So there are, as I said, each school district has a right to choose and review and discuss and bring forward to parents which curriculum they feel is best for the students in their school district. Some believe in teaching nothing but abstinence. Some are still as outdated as teaching only the biological aspects of the bodies, but not connecting the, now here's what your body does and here's what your body does. Not connecting how two bodies come together and helping them to adjust between what they see in the media, what they see online, what their friends are doing is appropriate inside them. And I think that's the biggest key, is helping these kids, our kids, determine safe, respectful relationships, be it in friendships or dating, but most definitely when it comes to consent and sexual contact. So the state policies for sex education, this is from the National Conference of State Legislators. And the state policies on sex education in schools, there are right now 24 states, including the District of Columbia, which require public schools teach sex education. 21 of those mandate sex education and HIV education. 33 states require students receive instruction about HIV/AIDS. 20 states require that if provided, sex and or HIV education must be medically, factually, or technically accurate, or maybe and. State definitions of medically accurate vary from requiring that the Department of Health review the curriculum for accuracy to mandating that the curriculum be based on information from published authorities upon which medical professionals rely. Many states define parents' rights concerning sexual education. 38 states require school districts to allow parental involvement in sexual education programs. 4 states require parental consent. Only 4 require parental consent before a child can attend. And I remember the old-fashioned days of having to take that permission slip home, and I need you to sign off on this for my sex education course. I think my mother actually, her sex education was handing me a Playboy magazine and telling me this is what women are supposed to do. You know, how obscene for an 11-year-old child to receive that information. 35 states and the District of Columbia allow parents to opt out on behalf of their children. So about half the country, over half the country, allows for the parents to decide, nope, my kid's not getting it. In 2011, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did a survey, and this survey indicated that more than 47% of all high school students said that they had had sex already. 47%. 15% of high school students have had sex with four or more partners. High school students, four or more partners. And this was in 2011. It's now 2017. 60% reported condom use. 23% reported birth control pills. Sexual activity, of course, absolutely has its consequences. We have to make that clear to our kids. Yes, this is how your body works. You need to know this. Why do you need to know this? Because when you have sex, you don't want to get a disease that could possibly kill you or leave you carrying a disease that you are going to transmit or have to admit to every other partner that comes along that you have this disease so that they can get treated. They say that although the teen birth rate has declined, the United States still has the highest teen birth rate in the industrialized world. Roughly one in four girls will become pregnant at least once by their 20th birthday, at least once. With all of the knowledge that we have today, with everything that we have available today, with condoms, with birth control pills, with depot injections, there is a pregnancy preventative form that you need to know about. And you need to help your child get, not when you feel the time is right that you want your child having sex, but when the time is right that they come to you or that they start asking you questions about sex. Make it part of your conversation. Guaranteed. Probably, I would, let's put it this way, if I was a gambling person, I would be willing to bet that probably maybe one in 50 young teenagers, and I'm talking 13, 14, probably one in 50 will address the topic of getting protection from their parents or even admit to their first sexual encounter at that young age. Because as parents, we really don't want to see this happen until we are approving them to start dating. You know, 15, 16, 17 years old, we try to steer them away from getting involved in sexual activity too early for a purpose, for their best welfare. And absolutely, I mean, my girls will tell you, no, you did not date until you were 16 years old. You could go with a bunch of your girls and meet a bunch of boys at the skating rink. How would I have known any different? But thankfully, I had an open relationship with my girls that almost always they were willing to say, you know, yeah, we're meeting so-and-so at the skating rink, or so-and-so's boyfriend, or this boy that I like is going to be there. Okay. So I was lucky if I got that much information, and that was during the skating rink days. So that's going back between ages 11 and 15, because by the time they got to 16, the skating rink days were over. You know, they were so far past that. Sadly, I don't think, you know, I guess that I've not talked to enough parents these days of young children, of young teens, to know how they communicate this subject with their kids. So if you're watching this video and you want to comment on our Facebook video page and tell me, you know, my child is so-and-so age and we have discussed A, B, C, and D, or this is when they came to me, or no, I haven't approached that subject with my kids yet. If you are listening in through our studio link, and you want to give me a call at the studio, our studio number is 929-477-2779. And, of course, this is a very serious subject. You know, we want to prevent our kids having it's for their safety. We don't want boys or girls getting so aggressive or so pre-involved with sex that it takes away from everything else that is their true value. We don't want them to lose sight of who they really are. So give them that knowledge. Talk with them openly about this. Leave the questions to them until you start seeing those signs, either through their data use, who they're hanging around with. You start hearing a gathering of girls at your house talking about sexual activities or kissing. You start hearing your boys talking about this singer's great butt or that dancer's great boobs, or, you know, the comments that they make can help you determine when that time is going to be right and how much information and what information you should be giving them. But more than anything else, I believe in order that we, number one, encourage teens to report sexual harm, we have to teach them appropriate respect in relationships. We have to teach them what consent is. We have to teach them what protection is and why they need to protect from diseases, and why they need to protect from pregnancies, and why there is so much more about them that is important before the sexual activity becomes their greatest and only focus. Because teenagers get into this. You know, I mean, I've heard teenagers, young teenagers, 13, 14-year-olds, 12, 13, 14, tell me, you know, I don't want anything to do with sex or getting involved with touching, relationships, that kind of, I don't want anything to do with that stuff until I'm out of high school. I've had and overheard others who have already admitted that they have already been sexually active. When the average age for girls to lose their virginity is 11 years old, that has to be a major concern for everyone. This initiates huge concern of, you know, how are they getting this information? Why is this a leading factor? How can we prevent this? How can we help them learn that they have so much more to offer the world as a human being, that there is so much more identity to them that is not sexual in nature? They don't need to worry about sex at such a young age, because sex will happen, but it needs to happen with someone that they truly want it to happen with, not their first crush, not the first one who catches their eye, not the girl with the nice looking butt, not the guy with the nice looking butt, or the handsome hairdo, or that wears the fancy clothes and drives the fancy car, or maybe the head basketball player or the head softball player. You know, it should happen because it's something that they feel. And I know with teenagers, it's hard to use that word and to actually explain it clearly to them. But you know, as an adult, and for those young parents out there who have teenagers now, maybe you're in your early 30s. You know, maybe you had a kid. Maybe you were one of these statistics of the early pregnancy births, the 1 in 4 girls who got pregnant early between the ages of 15 and 17. Maybe you were one of the young men to become an early dad. Maybe you know what that feeling, maybe you remember what it was that was going through your mind. What did you think about when you chose to have sex? And when you were getting to that point that you were curious about your body and your, you know, your biological hormone, your hormones are going off, and all of this curiosity and today's information and the many, many foul uses of social media that are used out there, whether it be in having sex or educating about sex, quote unquote educating, whether it be in initiating relationships. First and foremost, you know, I think respect, consent, safety, those have got to be your three leading factors right there. You know, if they don't feel definite about those three factors, then most definitely they are getting involved at an age and a point that they are not prepared and without the information that they need. They are going off of what they see in the media and social media and on the internet, or what somebody else has encouraged them to take part in, or maybe encourage them to do, or whatever. This is a topic that hits home with everyone, because if you have a child, male or female, sooner or later, the sex issue is going to come up. And you can either help them by helping them understand the true value of what sex is about, and where that intimacy comes from, and how we gain a stronger sense of intimacy by learning to get to know someone first. You know, as I've shared many times, you know, many, many people know I'm a sexual abuse and survivor, a rape survivor, a trafficking survivor. And I do a lot of mentorship and speaking and educating and training on these issues. And kids that come from homes with addiction, homes with violence, homes with a sexual influence. And it doesn't have to be direct sexual contact with the kids. It can come from something as simple as the parent or both parents possibly being survivors or adults from an alcoholic or a sexually influenced home that lacked or did not know the importance of healthy boundaries. Therefore, you know, they're raising their kids in that same type of, you know, maybe they got some stronger boundaries, or maybe they think they're implementing these boundaries. You know, maybe they're not, in fact, putting porn on the television as their parents did for them. And maybe they think that that's a huge plus. But yet maybe, you know, the men and the boyfriends that come through the mom's lives, or the women and the dating and the alcohol and the drugs that come through their lives, that part they're not seeing, how that initiates a sense of teen behaviors, of those confused boundaries. So how important is sex education in schools? I think it's 100% important. I think that it should be mandatory. It should not, if we are doing it in the public schools across the U.S., and I did say public, if we're doing it in the public education system, then I definitely believe that it should be a requirement for every 6th, 7th, 8th grade student. You know, you've got to hit it on different levels, so don't hit them with everything at once. You know, start out in 4th grade teaching, or even 3rd grade, teaching respect and safety. And then as they move along, teach as you see them holding hands in the hallway with other students, or maybe you see them sneaking their first kiss. They're not going to come home bragging to their parents about these issues. They're going to go bragging to their friends. That's just the way it works. Very few kids out there experience these for the first time and go running home to their parents to say, I just had my first kiss. I just got to first base. I just had somebody, I just let my boyfriend, we just felt and touched each other's bodies or rubbed each other's bodies. You know, mom, dad, I just had sex. They're going to go to their friends. That's just the way teenage years work. And parents are the last ones to usually know about this. Hopefully, you know about it within a couple of weeks. Hopefully you know about it within a couple of months. Hopefully your child used some type of protection, that they are not getting a disease or getting pregnant or making random and chaotic decisions, as most parents know that we have made as teenagers. If we look back on our teenage years, what would you have wanted to know, and when would you have wanted to know it? When did you start thinking about sexual activity? Now, take that number and look at what is available. The fact that all of their friends have cell phones, that everyone has some type of link or YouTube or access to some type of pornographic material, that boys talk to their boys, talk to their boys, that girls talk to their girls, talk to their girls, talk to their girls, okay? That this information, just as teens, just as preteens, is getting scrambled, and they are just blasted. It seems like within a couple of years, they suddenly go from these sweet, beautiful, happy children to suddenly being, oh my God, teenagers, and this alien has invaded my child's body, and I want my child back. I don't want them to grow up. They're too young to know this information. Would you rather they know the information and be able to protect themselves so that they can grow up and they can have a life, and they are not stuck as a statistic in the national welfare system and having to pay child support and having to worry about a kid whenever they are only 14, 15, 16 years old themselves? I wouldn't want that for my kids. I became an early grandma. It was my 40th birthday present. Mom, I'm pregnant. Wow. I felt that I had always been, I know that I talked very openly and very protectively with my girls about sex. And I talked very directly to my son about sex. And when I noticed that there was starting to get that sexual interest, yeah, I wanted to believe that they would be my sweet, responsible, wonderful children. But I absolutely, with my son, it was, kiddo, you're going to do it. You need to make sure you're using protection, because if you end up getting a young girl pregnant, you are going to be mowing lawns and paying child support and helping take care of a kid. And that's just the reality of it, because that's how your body and her body works. For my girls, it was, sweetie, don't fall for that. Don't fall for those boys who are out there telling you that you are the best thing that they ever knew, that they want to experience this with you and only you, because only you are you and you are wonderful. Because teenage boys will tell all young girls, teenage girls, absolutely anything. All of us, all of us are guilty of that. Sex is not that gender issue of who's more provocative or who's more influencing or who's more deceitful, because boys could do it, girls do it. It's a teenage thing. You don't learn responsible sex probably until you are in your 20s, if even then. By then, we hope that you've got it, that you are at least protecting yourself. But teenage sex and teenage sexual interest most definitely do not carry on in a responsible manner, or they go based on hormones. They go based on, she touched my hand and it excited me, and I started touching here and I started touching there, and we just got tangled up in it, and it happened, and this is how far we went. It happens to every teenager out there. And if parents are telling themselves otherwise, you need to rethink that subject. Because at some point, by the time your child is, you know, more than likely between the ages of, you know, 11 years old and 16 years old, they've already had that petting and cuddling and kissing interactions. And if they haven't, then, you know, the pressure, the peer pressure at school that they feel, you know, they've got to be really strong kids to be able to back away from those scenarios and to determine that, no, I don't want to do this. That's not what I want. I'm not interested in that. Because hormones are hormones. And hormones happen for girls probably much faster than they happen for boys. You know, because once girls start getting their cycles, their hormones start going. And their interests start growing. Because then they start wondering, why is my body going through this? You know, okay, yeah, you tell me this is how my body works. And I have eggs, and these eggs can get pregnant, and they get pregnant by male sperm. Right there, you've clicked an interest. Now they've got a crush on a boy at school. Now the boy, maybe even the girl, is initiating the first kiss. Now it goes into petting and cuddling and touching and feeling. And then, before you know it, it ends up in sex. Maybe oral sex. I remember that was the thing whenever my kids were in school. It wasn't so much actual intercourse as it was oral sex. And they didn't consider oral sex to be sex. Bill Clinton did it. Wasn't sex. I remember hearing that. And I remember the shock that I went through. I get this voice in my headphones for the radio show. Why do I wear headphones, right? Why do I wear headphones? I wear the headphones for those who are listening through our radio link, www.blogtalkradio.com/yourvoiceradio. So as I'm broadcasting, it's going out around the world, plus it's recording for archive share, right? So I get this little warning in my headset, and as I'm closing out the shows, it startles me. So, yes, it's time to close out another show. I hope that if nothing else, you will Google the questions about sexual education. You will consider the information we've discussed and that I've shared with you here, that you will use it to initiate a conversation between you and the preteens and teens and teenagers, high schoolers that you know before, sadly, you know, they end up being that 1 in 4 statistic, or they end up being that 1 in 4 parents, or they end up unfortunately having some type of disease. So be smart. Talk to your kids. God bless everybody. Peace out and have a wonderful day. I will be back with you on Thursday. Have a good one, everyone. Thanks for watching. This is Topics with Trish on Your Voice Radio Network. Have a great day. Thank you.